Welcome to Voicing Startups, where I, Colin Bournes, interview founders and operators changing the world through audio, voice, and conversational technology. Hey, everybody. I am happy to be back again with the Voicing Startups podcast. I took a little break over the Christmas and holiday season, but like I said, I'm happy to be back. And this week on the Voicing Startups podcast, I am talking with Travis of Phoebe. Phoebe, comprised of Phoebe Search and Phoebe Insight coming out this year in 2020, is a company that creates voice-centric products for businesses. Using Phoebe, customers can take advantage of the opportunities in voice commerce and better understand their customers while doing so. For this episode of the podcast, we hyper-focused on the Phoebe Search product. I hope that you enjoy this episode of Voicing Startups.
Hello, Travis. Thank you for coming on the Voicing Startups podcast.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Can we just start with a quick background of yourself?
Sure. So my name is Travis Garner, and I'm head of partnerships for Phoebe. And I kind of have a diverse background, mostly in sales and marketing. Was a headhunter for hospital C-suite and built some teams for regionally for insurance salesmen. And then for the last 5 years, I spent with a company called Dealers United in the automotive space. And they became known as the leader for Facebook and Instagram advertising in that industry. So I have a fairly extensive background in automotive, but all kinds of sales and marketing all over the board. And I'm excited to be with Phoebe and partnered up with them now and where we're headed.
Yeah. So what exactly is Phoebe and the key value proposition?
So Phoebe is a SaaS-based voice technology company. And there's a few different applications, multiple applications for our tech. But one of the main ones would be what we call Phoebe Search. And so Phoebe Search is contextual voice search for e-commerce or other sites, including automotive, real estate, retail, restaurants, you know, businesses that don't necessarily have a path to purchase on their site can still use Phoebe Search, and it's very valuable for them. But what it does, a simple explanation would be, say you're an auto dealer and you install Phoebe Search on your site. Well, this allows all the auto shoppers who visit your site to just click on the icon at the bottom center of the page and then speak into it what they're looking for. So, for example, they could say hybrids, or they could say blue F-150 under 30,000 miles. And it's going to pre-populate the results right on the screen for them, and they can search just by using their voice. The difference is it's only looking at your data, and that's where the contextual aspect of it comes in. If you're, you know, using Google or Alexa, it's searching queries across the web. Whereas this, it's only looking at your inventory feed, your product catalog, the data that's on your site. So instantaneously, it's able to produce very, very accurate results. And then we also have an instant search or smart search component to it as well, where they could type in and text to search, and it will pre-populate based on what it's looking at in your data, what it thinks you might be searching for. So it really collapses the path to purchase. It gets people to where they want to go faster. You only have a certain amount of time when somebody hits your website, maybe 30 seconds, right, to get them to where they want to be before you know, might have them bounce. And so this allows people to one, get to where they want to go faster, but then what we see is that the conversion rates are a lot higher when people interact with Phoebe using the voice search option or the instant search text search option. And you know, that's in the auto space, especially. That's what dealers care about. They're very lead driven. And then there's also Phoebe Insight, which is going to be launching in Q1 of 2020. And that is voice-enabled survey software, which allows market research companies to have their participants take surveys using just their voice on mobile or on desktop. Integrates with any survey platform that's currently out there being used. And then also provides some advanced AI capabilities around emotion detection, age, gender. It prevents against fraud. A lot of these surveys, you know, you're paying people or incentivizing people to take these surveys for, you know, say you're a surgeon. And there's a lot of fraud going on. You know, pay people to take surveys. They're going to try to take it more than one time, and mess with the system there. So being able to pick up on somebody's voice and the tonality, and you know, being able to tell if it's a male trying to be a female, you name it, prevents against that fraud, which is kind of a big problem across that industry. And so we're pretty excited about that as well.
So where did the idea for Phoebe come from, or what is the origin story of Phoebe?
Yeah, so our co-founders, Mike Page and Constantine Moran, they are from the UK, and they have an extensive background in analytics and market research. And they were working on experimenting with Google and with Alexa to try to help businesses gain insight quickly into their own internal data. And so you'd be able to speak into a device, say you were a bicycle manufacturer, and this still exists and is one of our applications called Phoebe Assist. But if you are a bicycle manufacturer and you want to find out how many yellow bicycles you sold in, you know, Q4 of 2018, instead of having to manually and that difficult process of searching through all the data that you have on sales, you can literally speak into your device, ask it, you know, ask for what you want to see, and it's going to pull that and extract that for you and populate it right there on the screen. So you can get to where you want to go faster and gain those insights and make those decisions that you need to make based on them. And so that, building that, you know, experimenting in that and then building out our own tech to do that better, they naturally progressed, or I should say maybe a better term for it would be like backed into the Phoebe search for e-com and for other sites and the ability to give, you know, the general consumer the option to use their voice to search on a site. You know, it's kind of funny that you can, you know, use your voice to search anything on the web, but you can't search on your site, right?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And then what does the business model look like, and who are the target customers?
Well, we are on Shopify currently in the App Store, and we'll be on some of the other major platforms very soon. And that would be Shopify store owners, right? And so that's really the e-commerce side of it, is that anybody can go on there and download Phoebe. It's three steps to implement. Happens automatically, and then, you know, instantaneously people can go on there and start searching whatever they want out of your inventory using their voice or that instant search option. There's other verticals like automotive, real estate, restaurants, to be able to sift through, you know, menus online, find what you're looking for and in order. Even for e-com sites, you can go all the way to, you know, purchase and check out, you know, add things to the cart using Phoebe. And so there's a wide array of different areas to move into. Automotive was one that we're gaining a lot of traction in. I, obviously, from my background, I was able to kind of penetrate and get it out there. We've been on some auto sites for well over a year. And it's funny because when I was first introduced to Mike and Constantine back in 2018, I said, yeah, you know, I'll throw it up on, you know, a couple dealer sites, talked to some auto groups about it. We installed it on there, and I didn't really know whether or not people were just going to naturally adopt it and start using it. Mm-hmm. But in the first 3 months, we had over 500 voice searches in the first month, and then it was up by 20% in the second month and 10% in the third month. I mean, that's a lot of people that are just naturally adopting it and using it. And it's because Google and Alexa have really done all the heavy lifting for us and getting people used to using voice as a way to interact with devices in general, right? I mean, people can recognize that, you know, a microphone icon or the Phoebe icon at the bottom of the screen, and it opens up and it proactively invites you to voice search. You know, people are just used to that, and it's very, very natural for them. And so the adoption rates, I mean, I'll talk to a lot of people and be like, oh, I think it's way off. I think we're, you know, especially dealers. But that's just not true. I mean, based on the data, the rates of usage are really, really high. It's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's super compelling for sure. How long have you guys actually been around then, and how many customers have you been able to get using the product so far?
Yeah, so we launched officially back in April of 2018, okay. And we will be at a few hundred individual auto dealers by the end of the year. Obviously on Shopify, and we have people adding it to their, you know, Shopify stores and sites daily. So that's really growing. We're in the hundreds of customers just through that platform. But and then the other ones, obviously with the surveys, we're in kind of the pilot mode right now. but we have run some big pilot surveys for some of these larger agencies, market research companies, and they're going really, really well. And, you know, some of the stuff that they love is all around the emotion detection and age and gender. I mean, that's stuff they just don't have insight on or access to. And then conversely, like in the auto space or any other business, I mean, they love that too. I mean, if I can show them, that's the thing about it is if you're using any one of these other platforms to have voice search, then you're not getting that data at the end of the day. We're giving them the raw data and access to it. So even an auto dealer will have like the ability to see how many females versus males we're searching on their site. And, you know, we can do the age as well. But really for them, it's like, what are they searching for? You know, yeah. Is their floor plan aligned with where the market demand is? You know, and what often they'll find is that you've got all these voice searches for a certain type of vehicle, and you don't really have any of those in stock, but you're way overstocked on another type of vehicle that you're really not getting any searches for. So it allows them to align with where the trends and where that market demand really is, and we give them full access to that. And the other great part about it is that it's secure. You know, it's not being shared with third-party advertisers. Mm-hmm. It's all your data, and it's kept that way. And so that's one of the things that we hang our hat on as well.
Yeah, from the perspective of a consumer who might come across one of these websites that has Phoebe and the voice search capabilities on the site, that makes a lot of sense to me. Like the value to that consumer, it's the ability to have the voice search. So that makes a lot of sense to me. But could we dig into maybe some of the benefits that come from Phoebe for the other side of the equation, being the site owners themselves or the different business owners that are putting voice search into their sort of tech mix?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. So one, it's a way to keep up with where things are headed, right? I mean, we're in the middle of kind of a voice revolution here that is here to stay. In order to, you know, be prepared for the voice economy, you're going to want to be able to offer that to consumers that hit your site. I mean, you know, it's like I say, especially amongst millennials, a really preferred method of interacting with sites and searching in general. I think, you know, 71% of people, even back in 2018, preferred to use their voice for search rather than a keyboard. So that would be number one. And the stats certainly back that up. The second would be being able to get and glean, you know, insight from that data through our dashboard and being able to see what people are actually searching for, you know, what is in demand. And also it sometimes will allow them to see spaces in which their funnel, so to speak, is leaky, right? You know, if people are looking for something or trying to get somewhere and the functionality of the site isn't allowing them to do that, then they can make improvements that way. So those are some major benefits, is just keeping up with where things are headed. And then, you know, allowing the consumer to drive their own experience, but really that collapsing the path to purchase, keeping them on the site longer because you got them to where they want to go faster, is crucial to conversion at the end of the day. So what we see is just a higher rate of conversions from the traffic that interacts with Phoebe, whether by voice or using the text, to search tool that we offer as well. The other thing is like most search is pretty bad. I mean, I don't want to say most, but yeah, a lot of it out there is bad. And a lot of times you'll have, maybe if you do, like you're an auto dealer and these sites do typically have pretty good smart search on a desktop version. But when you hit a mobile version of their site, you know, oftentimes you don't even have a search bar option, you know, and especially a lot of these, you know, Shopify, you know, stores and sites that it's really difficult. I mean, you've got all these drop-down menus, like in automotive, you've got all these drop-down menus, sub-menus, and it's a nightmare if you go on there and you try to find a specific vehicle. You can't search on their site under a certain amount of miles. You can't search within a certain price range. And that's really where the contextual part of it comes in, is that we're just looking at their data. You know, we create that custom language model around their inventory and their product catalog. So it's always going to bring forth what the consumer is looking for with the best accuracy. And then if they do have some kind of a webkit or they're trying to use voice and implement that on the site, you've got a problem where, you know, it's confusing what you're actually looking for because there's so much data that it's looking at to determine that. So one of the examples we use is, you know, Alfa Romeo has a model, a vehicle called a Giulia with a G. And then there's the name Giulia. And if you go and you try to search for Giulia on an Alfa Romeo site and they're using some other kind of voice application, it's going to get confused and bring up the name or think that's what you're looking for. I heard another kind of funny one where it was like somebody was looking for youth in Asia and it got that confused with youth in Asia. Right.
Yeah.
So you run into those problems, but I think just where everything is headed, you know, you want to be able to keep up. And if consumers are demanding that you offer that, you should.
Yeah. And one piece or one specific point that you mentioned was the contextual importance. Can we talk about that a little bit more and what you mean exactly by the importance of being able to be contextual with the technology or with Phoebe as opposed to really what I think you're referring to, which is like general assistance and the end goal of like an Amazon or like an Alexa or a Google Assistant being a more general task in nature versus your target market, if I'm understanding correctly. Could you just kind of give a little bit more of a background on the contextual example?
Sure. So, you know, there's e-commerce outside of Amazon. Right. So you know, there's a growing trend of e-com sites, especially, or just sites in general, businesses in general, that want to make sure that the search experience, the customer experience on their site is top notch to build that customer loyalty. And so, you know, really having a way to get the search results to be accurate, having the ability to offer people the option to search using their voice and having that all securely run through your site and not be shared with third-party advertisers and have your customer base cannibalized that way is a big draw. I mean, that's the main thing behind our technology is that, you know, we're creating those custom language models based on your data alone. And they're really, really working for you in that regard.
Yeah, and I can imagine that just being able to aid in creating a better end experience from everything from being able to understand intent and all that good stuff to being able to craft experiences around understanding what the customer is trying to get to. So that makes a lot of sense. And then you also mentioned when you were talking about some of the benefits, the collapsing the path to purchase. And on your website, it says, Phoebe collapses the path to purchase and enables you to be a leader in today's mobile-first voice commerce era. And I think it's interesting that you distinguish the mobile-first voice commerce era because a lot of people talk about voice from the perspective of a voice-first sort of angle. Can you kind of explain further the differences and reasons for ultimately positioning from the mobile-first perspective as opposed to a voice first?
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I think there's two market factors at play that need to be recognized. I think, you know, it's one, mobile and the rise of mobile and the continued rise of mobile. And then also the rise of smart speakers and voice search in general. I know going back to automotive, once again, you know, the average auto dealer site, 80%+ of their traffic is from a mobile device. So if you don't have great search on your mobile site, you are missing out. You are potentially frustrating what could be customers that are bouncing off your site because they can't find what they're looking for quickly. They have to go four layers deep into a submenu to try to get to where they want to go, whereas they can easily just click the icon, speak, tell it what they want to find, and it's going to pre-populate automatically. So, you know, I think it's extremely important not to overlook, you know, the fact that most of the traffic to most sites is coming from a mobile device.
Yeah, no, I think that's that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of times when people talk about voice, you know, they think of, if there's voice technology coming, that means that the smartphone's going away. And just think that's kind of crazy to think. And there's a lot of benefits in sort of the coexistence of voice technology alongside some of our existing technologies, that's, with the smartphone being one of them. So the next thing that I wanted to get some sort of input on, or from you on, is, you know, I see all these different forecasts from companies like Juniper that talk about voice commerce being anywhere from like a $40 to an $80 billion market by 2023. When they're talking about this sort of forecast, what is like the breakout of this market look like? And how do you think a business best prepares for this future of voice commerce? And, you know, for example, you know, Amazon is a leader in voice commerce and an ultimate driver behind voice technology. Will they own most of that commerce? And what does that really mean for businesses and your product interested in participating in voice commerce?
Yeah, I mean, I think that from our perspective, I mean, obviously, I think the writing is on the wall. You know, I don't know about the projections, you know, how accurate they are. Nobody does, I guess, until we get there. But certainly, you know, Amazon, Google, and Microsoft, they don't have to be the only way or path to use voice search, whether you're a business or a consumer. And so, you know, that's the thing about, you know, Phoebe, you know, keeping things secure. If you're an agency and you wanted to partner with us and take the data and use it, you know, in a remarketing engine, you know, that's obviously an option too. I mean, that's something that we certainly can do. But I think for general businesses, you know, it's getting more and more that people are concerned about where things are headed and their privacy. And how their data is being used and just how much access everyone seems to have to it. And so I think that's going to hold voice back in a little bit, right? Other than the fact that, like, there's times to tap, there's times to click, there's times when voice makes sense. So I don't think everything's going to just shift overnight to everyone using voice to do everything. Obviously, if you're buying some sort of a cream or something, you don't want to order that using your voice at work, or if you don't want to be in a cubicle next to everybody else in your office using their voice to command the computer to do what it wants to do, because that could get pretty noisy. So, you know, I think it levels out somewhere. And I think also the security aspect of it, I think people are a little bit wary and getting maybe even more wary of where their data is being collected and stored and who has access to it. And voice, I mean, for some people might seem, you know, it might seem like a little scary. So I think just generally that's going to temper it a little bit, but I certainly think Amazon has the market cornered in general. And I think that the voice revolution is here to stay.
Yeah. And you mentioned consistently throughout our talk, this idea of privacy and security with voice. Do you think that this is something for different companies like yourself or other startups that are participating in voice or creating different companies around voice technology? Do you think that privacy and security is something that is a differentiator between companies, or do you think this is something that should be required going forward in this evolving sort of voice ecosystem?
I think people should just be aware. You know, a lot of the, you know, guys I hang out with and gals I hang out with, they're are really digitally focused and very, very bright. And a lot of them that I talk to, you know, they're like, well, you know, why don't you just offer this at the lowest cost possible or free potentially and just mine the data, because that's where the money's at. And that's true, right? I mean, that's no matter what the company's, you know, consumer facing, proposition is, you know, in the background, it seems like everybody's trying to gather data because it is lucrative, you know? And I think that you just need to be aware, that of the intentions of a lot of businesses out there and how they're using your data. And I think, you know, with all the public hearings and a lot of this stuff, I think people are thinking about that more and more, but at the same time, like, going back to auto once again, I mean, I think that an auto dealer at the end of the day cares about leads and cares about sales. And when I, you know, 5 years ago, when I talked to auto dealers, you know, doing Facebook and Instagram and asked them for a sold report so we could do a matchback on sales, I mean, they were like really concerned about that, or just unwilling to provide that data. And we were just using it for a simple matchback purpose to, you know, show ROI. But as time evolved and time went on, you know, they became a lot more open to it. And then pretty soon nobody even blinked, you know, they would just give us what we needed. Cause at the end of the day, you know, leads, sales are what matters in people's minds. So,
yeah,
you know, it's on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, that makes a lot of sense. How do you differentiate from any competitors that you have in this space? And then what really makes you unique and defensible to the other competitors?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the major things that that's different is that we try to keep it simple, right? We're not trying to give the Phoebe Search a personality. We do have the ability to do some extra things and some customization, you know, to provide certain incentives and offers. If you want to schedule a test drive, if you wanted to unlock e-price, we have the ability for people to pin a vehicle so it saves it and it'll show up at the top of the results next time you go to the site. And this would also be true for any business, real estate, you name it. And then also collect leads and send those into, you know, a CRM system or send them to an email directly automatically. But the real thing is that it's easy to implement. Is one of the major things. And then the fact that it is contextual search. I mean, if you wanted to use, you know, one of the APIs to try to experiment with voice search on your site yourself, you know, what you'll find is depending on how many queries are taking place on your site, it becomes dramatic. It becomes very expensive, very fast, right? So with Phoebe, you have a fixed cost. It's not a variable. And that's certainly appealing. The security aspect, right? It's not being shared with third-party advertisers like it would in most every other, you know, use case. And those are the things. I mean, it's super easy to implement. It's already built there for you. So, you know, you can have it installed today and it'll be live today or tomorrow. You know, it's ready to go. Why go build it yourself or, you know, experiment with it when it's ready to go out of the box.
Yeah, no, that sounds, it just makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And I mean, and it's customizable. I mean, we have the ability to do a lot of interesting things and, you know, partners come to us all the time, whether they're agencies, website providers, asking for this or asking for that. Can we make it do this? And the answer is in the vast majority of cases, yes. You know, so you have a lot of flexibility when you work with us to really customize it to meet your business needs and whatever your model is. And that's appealing in and of itself for sure.
Yeah. And where do you see the product, the Phoebe Search, which we've been talking about specifically, where do you see this going over the next 6 months or so? And then the next few years, with the company?
Yeah. So there's so much opportunity, which I love. But you know, you have to kind of stay somewhat focused because if not, you can, I mean, the sky is the limit. But I certainly see on the e-com side, it just, you know, because people on Shopify are just buying at zero touch, right? In the auto space, if an auto dealer bought something zero touch, that's like the holy grail. That never happens, you know? They always have to speak to somebody first, no matter how sensible or affordable the product is. So just the fact that people are just automatically adding it to their site because, you know, they see the benefit of having voice search on their site is great news. So I see it naturally just you know, building a bigger and bigger customer base from there. And then, you know, trying to find those verticals that make the most sense, like real estate, like automotive, what we're doing with restaurants and, you know, takeout menus. And then on the Phoebe Insight side with the market research, we've had a great reception there. Just about everybody I speak to about it has interest and then wants to do a pilot. But a lot of that is because it's giving them, I mean, that's what they do, is to collect as much data as possible to give to their clients. And if you can know whether or not somebody's genuine about what they're saying, or not as neutral as they claim to be, or you can suddenly offer open-ended survey questions. And then you can also use our technology to then search through those answers to those questions and find certain keywords or phrases, which is huge, right? Depending on how big your project is and the scope and scale of it, it could be really valuable. So the ability to do that and the insight that we give there on age and gender and the fraud protection, I mean, those are things that just haven't been available in the past. So I can see us really having a banner year in that sector next year. And then there's some other things that we do as well that are relatively unexplored. I mean, we've done a lot with Phoebe Assist, which is businesses using it just to sift through their internal data and be able to find things faster. And those are the bigger projects, a little bit more customization to really make sure we're tied into their data in the most, you know, granular way. But there's also an application for it if you have a ton, like a large volume of audio or video files with audio. You know, we can go through them and we can sift through and we can find certain keywords, certain phrases. So whether it's in market research or whether it, you know, is government contracts, local, you know, police forces that want to find out when somebody called in a code or what was being said before, you know, this happened or that happened, you know, based on what was spoken, we have the ability to do that as well. In market research, I mean, just about every application of our technology is on the table. And a lot of those agencies have interest in the whole gamut. So we're excited.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a lot of interesting potential paths to go down, and it'll only be more interesting to just see how kind of each of those different offerings evolve and ultimately what's going to kind of be that core piece going into the years ahead. But exciting nonetheless. And really along this whole conversation, you've made it pretty clear how much you believe in the voice space overall. So as we wrap up this interview, is there anything specifically about the voice space, the voice industry that gets you excited over the next few years?
Yeah, I mean, just about, you know, everything you see happening. I guess there's one conversation that I had recently with a mentor of mine, who's an entrepreneur and digital genius, in my opinion. And he said, you know, even with my background and everything that I've done and do in digital, he's like, I continually forget how convenient it is to use my voice, you know, to do these tasks and to do certain things, right? He's like, I will literally find myself, you know, driving, you know, texting somebody, be there in 5 minutes when I could just speak it into my phone and it'll deliver that to them, or searching for something that he needs, you know, on a site. And I think hearing that from him, in the fact that, you know, I think he's even behind in the fact that I think there's a huge amount of young people and millennials, especially, I mean, just the trends there, are all pointing towards people wanting to use voice first. And I really think that is where a lot of this is headed. And I mean, even if you get into older populations, I mean, just the accessibility, to use their voice rather than having to type or manually search the things, which could be a lot more difficult. If they can learn to use it, just like they have some of the social platforms, right? Once you get somebody on Facebook, you know, after a certain age or within a certain age group, it's funny because the business I used to work for, you know, we would break down, you know, where the largest engagement came from as far as age groups. And it was like from 40 to 65 was the largest, you know, engagement. And, you know, initially, you know, we were all somewhat surprised by that. But the fact is that if you're an older person and you get on Facebook, when you are older, you want to keep up with your grandkids and your kids, and, you know, they stay on there. And then in that space, they're not as jaded like we might be, having been bombarded with ads all our lives. So they actually do engage, and that's a good thing. But I can kind of see it the same with voice, right? I mean, if you can get people adopting it and they see how easy it can be, and how much, you know, easier it makes their lives in a lot of ways. Then I think you're kind of hitting it from both sides.
Yeah. No. Thank you for all the different points about the company specifically, and then all the different takes that you have on the voice space. It's very interesting to take into consideration, and I'm assuming that a lot of the listeners are going to want to check out Phoebe and a lot of the work that you and the team are up to. So what's really the best place for listeners to follow or be a customer, or really any of that good stuff? Really follow Phoebe and what you guys are up to.
Yeah. So our website is getphoebe.com. So that's one place that you can go as a resource. And then the whole team, including myself, we're on LinkedIn, Mike Page, Constantine, our whole team can be found there. And there's a lot of good articles there as well about auto dealers piloting the Phoebe search technology and what's going on in the survey and market research space. And then our CEO, Mike Page, will be speaking at the IIEX conference in Amsterdam in February. And you can always reach out to me directly. It's travis.garner@getphoebe.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Travis, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
This podcast is sponsored by VoicePunch VC. VoicePunch is a venture capital fund that is focused on voice-driven and voice-connected technology. So if you are a company or an entrepreneur that has a product that is in this sort of space, much like a lot of the different companies that I am interviewing, then you should reach out to the team by going to voicepunch.vc.